City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
You're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 488. I'm Amy Matheny, and wow, how fast has September flown by? It is officially the last podcast of the September month, and I cannot believe it. We're here, guys. It's fall. Pull out the corduroys, the boots, the long sleeve shirts. Have a sweater close at hand, possibly a scarf, if that's more your fashionista style. But it's here. And we bid a fond farewell to summer, as we know. At least here in Chicago, we do. For you listeners in more southern climates, I hope you eke out a few more good, warm, hot days. We have a hot show for you today. Two iconic musical artists, both in their own genre, who have set the precedent for what that music is about, and both a part of the GLBT community. First, we are going to hear from Michael Feinstein. He is the keeper of the American Pop Songbook. That's right. All those great songs that you know, his mentor, Ira Gershwin, just really formulated him into an artist who has kept this tradition of the most beautiful music of Gershwin and Porter, Arlen, all of these great composers and singers alive. And he is coming to the beautiful Auditorium Theater here this week. Hope you can get out and hear him, because he will be appearing with the entire Chicago Jazz Orchestra. So it is going to be amazing. If you have not seen him, he is funny, he is moving, he is intimate. It is a great, great show. And our very own Jerry Nunn sits down and talks with him before he comes to the Windy City. He will be at the Auditorium Theater on September 29th. Excited to bring that interview to you. And also, the hot chick of the indie scene, Ani DeFranco, bisexual artist that she is, really just put raw intensity into the indie market, especially for acoustic women. And exciting that Ani is going to be in town as well this week. So hopefully you're listening to this show early in the week. We got it out quick, so you might catch her at the Vic on Tuesday, September 25th. So Jerry Nunn sitting down with both these artists. So thrilled to have them with us today. So big hot show of music.
Vancouver is home to Western Canada's largest LGBT population, and now you can enter for your chance to win the Lights, Camera, Attraction prize package to Vancouver, British Columbia. A safe and welcoming destination for diehard shoppers, avid outdoor thrill seekers, nightlife aficionados, and dedicated food lovers, Vancouver is a world-class city offering something for everyone. From sports pubs to drag shows, leather bars to dance clubs, lounges and restaurants, Vancouver's got it all. Plus, Vancouver Pride celebrations and the Vancouver Queer Film Festival in July and August, and Whistler's Winter Pride in February. Tourism Vancouver is pleased to offer you and a guest the chance to win a trip to Vancouver in 2013. For a chance to win the Lights, Camera, Attraction sweepstakes, visit tourismvancouver.com/lights by November 30th, 2012 to enter. That's tourismvancouver.com/lights.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. In Chicago, Alderman Proco Joe Moreno has struck a deal with Chick-fil-A that will allow the chain to open in his ward after months of controversy that started with anti-gay comments made by the restaurant's chief operating officer, Dan Caffey. The company reportedly agreed to no longer donate money to anti-gay organizations and has issued a memo about respectful treatment of LGBT employees and customers. However, Chick-fil-A subsequently issued a statement saying it will continue to focus on programs that educate youth, strengthen families, and enrich marriages, and support communities. Our intent is not to support political or social agendas.
In Florida, a lesbian couple has won a $10 million jackpot. Coral Springs resident Tara Tuttle, age 35, who is married to wife Carrie Tullis, claimed the top prize in the billion-dollar blockbust scratch-off game at Florida Lottery headquarters in Tallahassee. Tuttle chose the one-time lump sum payment of $6.5 million.
More than 2,000 people have joined a new campaign on change.org urging the Kentucky-based Lincoln Heritage Boy Scouts Council to reinstate former Assistant Scoutmaster Greg Bork and reject the Boy Scouts of America's anti-gay policy. Bork, who has been partnered for 30 years and has two children involved in scouting, was removed from his role because of his sexual orientation.
More than 3,500 people have joined a new campaign on change.org urging Intel Corporation, one of the Boy Scouts of America's largest corporate donors, to stop funding the Scouts until the organization removes its ban on gay youth and leaders. Intel gave nearly $700,000 to the Boy Scouts in 2010.
More than 130,000 people have joined a campaign on change.org calling on Universal Health Services, Inc., a Fortune 500 company and one of the largest hospital management companies in the U.S., to enforce a new federal regulation granting visitation and medical decision-making rights to same-sex couples.
Some African-American clergy members are urging their congregations to stay home on Election Day because of President Obama's stance in favor of same-sex marriage. The pastors say their congregants are asking how a true Christian could back marriage equality. 4 years ago, Obama won 95% of black voters.
In Massachusetts, United States District Judge Mark Wolf has ordered that the state pay the legal fees for transgender inmate Michelle Kosolek, and that sum is estimated to be $500,000. Wolf, in a landmark decision, granted Kosolek's request for gender reassignment surgery. Kosolek is serving a life sentence without parole for killing her wife in 1990.
A group of San Francisco Gold's Gym franchises has cut ties with its parent company to protest the CEO's substantial 2010 donation to a conservative organization with anti-LGBT connections. The group is privately owned and includes four Gold's Gyms in Oakland, Marin, and San Francisco's Soma and Castro districts. Gold Gym's CEO Robert Rowling gave $2 million in 2010 to American Crossroads, a conservative political group that former Bush advisor Karl Rove founded.
Celebrities, corporations, schools, and local communities will join GLAAD by wearing purple for Spirit Day on October 19th. Spirit Day is about taking a stand against bullying and supporting LGBT youth. Supporters are encouraged to take the Spirit Day pledge at www.glad.org/spiritday.
Cowboys.com Group LLC is launching a Western-themed website to take advantage of the fastest-growing segment in online dating. The website Cowboys.com will be the new home for gay and straight people to find cowboys and cowgirls.
The University of Minnesota at Duluth is being criticized for giving transgender photographer Lauren Cameron $4,000 for presenting trans-related images at the school. The images show Cameron documenting his journey from being female to being male, a process that started in the early 90s.
U.S. Senator Michael Bennett, the Democrat from Colorado, introduced the LGBT Elder Americans Act of 2012. The act includes proposals for specifying LGBT elders as a population in greatest social need and permanently establishing the National Resource Center on LGBT Aging, among other amendments.
In Florida, the school board of Broward County unanimously passed a resolution declaring its support for LGBT History Month in October. The school district becomes the first in the nation to issue an official resolution supporting the month. Broward is the sixth largest school district in the country and includes Fort Lauderdale.
A CDC analysis from the 2009-2010 National Adult Tobacco Survey showed that, with exceptions of pipes, tobacco was used significantly higher among LGBT respondents when compared to the general population. The national survey found that 32.8% of LGBT people smoke cigarettes, and 38.5% report using any tobacco. Among non-LGBT respondents, those rates fell to 19.5% for cigarettes and 25.2% for any tobacco use.
In world news, David Cecil, the British producer behind a gay-themed play staged in Uganda, is now out of jail. Officials tossed Cecil, the man behind the production of The River and the Mountain, in prison because he allegedly violated the Uganda Media Council. Cecil posted bail but can't leave the country until his next hearing on October 18th. He faces up to 2 years in prison.
Former TV personality Raymond Chan became the first openly gay representative in Hong Kong's 70-person legislative assembly. However, Chan didn't discuss his orientation during the campaign. Chan plans to work aggressively to implement the sexual orientation discrimination ordinance.
In Brazil, a young transgender woman was found in a dumpster in Sao Paulo. She had been murdered and mutilated with an ear and her genitals removed. There have been several crimes committed against trans people recently, including four women who were shot in the city of São José de Rio Preto. Two of them died.
In the UK, it's been revealed that Fiona Bone, one of the two female police officers murdered in Greater Manchester earlier this week, had been planning a civil partnership ceremony with the woman she loved. Dale Cregan, age 29, was arrested by police on suspicion of their murders, in addition to the killings of two others earlier this year.
And in entertainment news, singer Brandi Carlile married partner Catherine Shepherd in Boston on September 15th. The couple are planning two more ceremonies, one in Carlile's hometown of Seattle and one in her wife Catherine Shepherd's hometown of London.
Openly gay actor John Barrowman, best known as Captain Jack Harkness on Doctor Who and Torchwood, has written the fantasy science fiction novel Hollow Earth with sister Carol. Aladdin Books, the children's division of Simon & Schuster, will release the young adult novel on October 30th.
Toronto Blue Jays shortstop Yunel Escobar played a game against the Boston Red Sox with a gay slur on his eye black written in Spanish. Escobar had the words, "Tu eres maracón," loosely translated, "You are a faggot," scrawled across the sun reflectors underneath his eye. Major League Baseball suspended Escobar for 3 games, and the salary for those games was directed to You Can Pay and GLAAD. He also will participate in an outreach program.
RuPaul's Drag Race winner Sharon Needles bared it all at a UK photo shoot for fashion magazine Idol. Also, her online store has unveiled a new line of underwear for both sexes.
Actress Laura Prepon of TV's That 70s Show fame will star as a bisexual prisoner in a new drama for Netflix created by Jenji Kohan, also the creator of Weeds. The series, based on Piper Kerman's book Orange is the New Black, centers on a woman whose decade-old relationship with a drug runner in college results in her arrest and multi-year detention in a federal penitentiary. Prepon plays the drug runner.
Out actor Jesse Tyler Ferguson of Modern Family has announced his engagement to attorney Justin Mikita and announced a new marriage equality organization. The two men have teamed with Tie Bar to design a collection of unique bow ties, and proceeds will go to groups that fight for LGBT rights. See tiethenot.org.
Lady Gaga's new North American Born This Way Ball Tour will visit 25 cities starting in January 2013. Cities include Vancouver, Los Angeles, St. Louis, Chicago, New York City, and Nashville on March 10th, with the tour wrapping up in Miami in March.
Tony winner Scarlett Johansson will return to Broadway to star as Maggie in a new production of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. Benjamin Walker will co-star as Brick. Performances start December 18th at the Richard Rogers Theater with a January 17th opening.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey, this is Cheyenne Jackson, and you're on the Windy City Queercast.
There's a somebody I'm longing to see. I hope that he turns out to be someone who'll watch over me. I'm a little lamb who's lost in the wood. I know I could always be good to one who
Jerry Nunn sits down with singer Michael Feinstein to talk about his American Songbook and his appearance here in Chicago this week. He's a five-time Grammy Award winner and two-time Emmy nominee. And, of course, you know that he keeps all the standards alive from Garland to Gershwin. And it's pretty exciting that he's going to be here performing with Chicago Jazz Orchestra. This is a very special performance at the Auditorium Theater. So let's sit back and listen to Jerry Nunn with Michael Feinstein.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Very good. How are you today?
Good, good.
This is Jerry, I presume?
Yes, this is Jerry.
Okay, good.
You have the right number. Can you imagine?
Yeah, just...
It's like somewhere.
It can happen, you know?
The last time I talked to you was like during a conference call a long time ago, like it was years ago, for this, when Songbook came out. And there was like a group of us on there and stuff like
yes.
that. So it's been a long time. And then I went and saw your performance at the Dominican University.
Oh, when I replaced Marvin Hamlisch.
Yes. Yeah. So you were so good. You put on such a great show.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's a solo show.
Yeah, and I quoted you. You said if you don't know Sinatra or Judy, you're at the wrong place. It's very funny. So, you were really entertaining, and I look forward to seeing, you know, your latest show at the Auditorium Theater.
So. Well, thank you. I'm really looking forward to it because this is one of the great jazz orchestras, and they have some fantastic arrangements. So it'll be a real swinging tribute to the Great American Songbook, but it'll be leavened by the ballads I do at the piano. So I think it'll be a pretty balanced program of great music.
Yeah, and so there's going to be lots of Gershwin, right?
There will be Gershwin included because I have a Gershwin book coming out October 16th.
Okay.
And so I'm very excited about that. Yeah, the book is called The Gershwins and Me. Mm-hmm. Simon & Schuster's publishing it. And that's coming out 2 weeks after the concert.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Wow, it's happening so fast. So in the book's about, you know, kind of generally, is it just about, you know, your experience with the Gershwins and the music and everything?
It's not a linear biography. It's really it's a book I created for people who don't know a lot about the Gershwin, so anybody could pick it up and mm-hmm. and learn about them. So it's not scholarly. It's filled with a lot of anecdotes that I've been told by so many people who worked with and knew the Gershwins and by Ira Gershwin himself. And mm-hmm. I organized it in chapters that all are springboards from specific songs that were written at a certain time, and then I tell stories related to those songs. Mm-hmm. So I thought that would make it more interesting, sort of a potpourri, as opposed to doing a linear study of their work.
Oh, okay.
And it's a beautiful book. It's got a lot of gorgeous pictures, color photos, and all kinds of rare stuff. So
nice. Okay.
It's very easy. The thing that makes me most delighted is that Costco has agreed to carry it. So,
So
that's a good sign.
Yeah, you won't be banned like Joan. Oh my gosh.
I know.
Joan.
I mean, I thought, God, I didn't know. I thought next time I see Joan, I'm gonna tease her.
Yeah, she did. I think she put on like a spectacle in front of one of them just to be like that. It's really funny. She's crazy.
Yeah, she's a character.
You live next door to Rosemary Clooney and all of that. Has there been one celebrity that you just really changed your life? Was it her, or was it? I don't know. You've met so many celebs, I'm sure, throughout the years.
Well, Rosemary was my favorite singer, and I adored her so much. She was like my second mom, so she was very important to me. But through Ira Gershwin, I met amazing people. Through Ira, I met Leonard Bernstein, and I met Lauren Bacall, and I met Angie Dickinson, who remains one of my favorite people.
Oh, cool.
She's a good friend, but the person who changed my life the most would have to be Ira. Mm-hmm. Because of everything that he did for me. He gave me my career and my identity and educated me in the songs and introduced me to people that have become lifelong friends, mm-hmm. and made it possible for me to have experiences that I wouldn't otherwise.
Okay.
So it's because of Ira I met Rosemary, and, you know, so really it always goes back to him.
Yeah, cool. Now, I talked to Debbie Reynolds last week, and she has sold off a lot of her movie collection and things like that. And I was wondering if you have a big Broadway collection. And she also said that Hollywood doesn't care so much about their history, but I wondered, as far as you're concerned, you know, Broadway, does Broadway care more about their history? They must, with everything.
Well, I do have a large collection. My collection is centered around songs and songwriters. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a lot of Gershwin memorabilia and Irving Berlin and Cole Porter. Mm-hmm. And I do have a lot of movie-related material because I've lived in Los Angeles longer than any other place. Mm-hmm. And I have a massive collection. And some of it has been donated to the Library of Congress. Mm-hmm. And most of it's going to go to my own initiative that I started in Indiana. Called the Feinstein Initiative, and the reason that is there is because Carmel, Indiana, which is right next to Indianapolis, they're building a museum to house this collection, and they support the arts, and they're supplying staff and manpower to catalog the collection, and so. Carmel, Indiana is a model city. It's an incredible place. It's a great place to live. The city has a financial surplus, and I'm artistic director of the Carmel Center for the Performing Arts, which is a new $180 million complex. It's one of the greatest in the world. We've had many major stars already. We're only in our second season, but we've had everyone from Tony Bennett to Joshua Bell, great country stars. And,
nice.
And Barry Manilow was there a few months ago.
Oh, wow.
And, mm-hmm. and so it's really a major, major achievement.
Nice. Yeah. So do you have a place to stay in Indiana?
Yeah, I have a house. I have a house in Carmel. Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
And a place in LA and a place in New York.
Gosh, you're all over the place.
I guess I'm tri-coastal.
And you have tons of roots in Chicago too. You know, you're here for, with the speakeasy and things like that. And you spend a lot of time here too. So.
Well, Terrence, my husband, Jerry is his sister, and you mm-hmm. owned Tomboy. And, so yeah, we have a lot of roots in Chicago.
Jody's his sister? I didn't know that.
Well, they are. They call each other brother and sister. They're not blood.
Oh, okay.
But
they're
they
very
are.
Close. Okay.
Yeah, they grew up together.
Oh yeah, I really like her. She's cool.
In Ohio.
Oh wow. So how's Terrence doing?
Oh, he's great. He is. He's doing great. He's the most optimistic person I know. Mm-hmm. Very disciplined. Runs 5 miles every morning, and mm-hmm. he's so disciplined it makes me so angry.
Well, speaking of running, you're doing the AIDS run, right? Are you doing an intro there?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
That's gonna be crazy. I just interviewed Jamar today about it, so gonna be a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to be there. I've never done anything for the Chicago gay community, and it'll be fun to connect in that way.
Mm, okay. Are you singing a little bit?
I don't know. I don't know what's planned at this point. I haven't worked it out yet.
Okay.
But I'll be there.
Yeah.
I'm like Liza. She always says, "I'll be there."
Right. Do you have a favorite new musical out of the new ones that have come out recently? Is there one that you've really enjoyed?
No.
That's a great answer. Okay. So no book of Mormon.
I really. Well, Book of Mormon, I enjoyed. I love Casey Nicholaw, who directed and choreographed. We worked together on my Broadway show. I think he's a genius. It's not a great score, though.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, it's an entertaining show, but I still like to go to musicals for the score.
Yeah.
And Book of Mormon's not a memorable score. You know, nobody leaves humming the score.
Uh-huh.
And I still like to go to musicals because of the score.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to see Peter and the Starcatcher soon, which I'm told is spectacular.
Okay.
I guess it's not a full-blown musical, but I heard that is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing I'm most excited about.
Yeah, nice. Well, keep me posted on that. I'm not familiar with it, so.
Yeah. It's everybody says it's dazzling.
Okay. What else? Oh, so people can go to your website and get, you know, purchase all the videos, the book, and everything like that, right? Everything's going to be up.
Yeah. The Sinatra Project CDs, because I'll be doing a tribute to Sinatra at the show with the Chicago Jazz Orchestra, because my last two CDs have been tributes to Sinatra, Frank Sinatra. So those are available, and the book. And the book doesn't come out till the 16th of October, so I guess there'll be pre-orders or whatever.
Nice.
That's
okay. So you might be singing in Chicago.
Very possible. I've sung it before.
Well, great. I really look forward to seeing you perform again, and we're going to arrange where I can meet you and stuff, because I haven't got to meet you face-to-face.
That would be great, Jerry. It'd be nice to just say hello. You know, I always imagine, you know, I imagine what everybody looks like when I talk to them, so it'd be nice to...
Well, I Twittered you. I don't know if you're a big Twitterer, but I Twittered you just saying, you know, I'm going to do an interview, so you can kind of see. So.
Oh, well, you know, I don't have a lot of time to do it, but I appreciate it. I mean, I do it, but I don't. I'm so busy, God,
yeah.
Which is great. I'm not complaining.
I know.
God strikes you down if you complain.
It's great to always, you know, keep up with you and we, you know, Windy City and now Chicago Pride. We've covered you for so long, so we always support your work.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's really a great magazine. I read it every time I'm in town and sometimes look at it online. So.
Awesome. Well, great. Well, thanks. Thanks so much for your time today, Michael. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, and thank you for writing about me and the show. So I'll look forward to meeting you.
Yeah, I'll see you soon. Thanks so much. Okay,
thanks, Jerry.
All right.
Bye.
Don't miss Michael Feinstein at the Auditorium Theater, 50 East Congress Parkway, on September 29th. That's right, folks. Saturday, September 29th at the Auditorium Theater. You can get tickets by calling 1-800-982-2787. That's 1-800-982-2787. Or go to Ticketmaster.com/auditorium.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr., and here's your Night at the Movies Mega Minute. On March 24th, 1987, a group of ragtag gay men and women and their supporters took to the streets in New York City. They'd waited long enough for action from their closeted mayor, Ed Koch, about the scourge of AIDS in their community. After years of dismissal on both a local and national level by scientists, politicians, and society at large, this group, which came together under the moniker ACT UP, AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power, no longer had time to wait. Many of them were already too sick, too near the inevitable death that a positive diagnosis of HIV meant at the time, to do anything other than throw caution to the wind. Not only were they pissed, but they brought along cameras to document their protest. It was those video cameras, a relatively new tech advance at the time, that made all the difference in how the world would come to perceive the tactics that made ACT UP world-renowned. And David France, a freelance journalist, was there on the front lines and saw those video cameras wielded at every protest march, every zap, the highly charged staged events that quickly caught the imagination of the American press. France has been writing about AIDS ever since, and a few years back he began pouring through video archives, tracking down the footage he saw being shot. Piecing together excerpts from hundreds of rare tapes, he has crafted a searing, enthralling documentary experience called How to Survive a Plague, that is playing exclusively in Chicago at the Music Box Theater and is in theaters nationwide. The outrageous strategies employed by ACT UP in order to get attention to the cause of finding, if not a cure for AIDS, then at least drugs to help sufferers deal with it and slow its track are detailed, and we meet several of the group's prominent leaders and watch hundreds, sometimes thousands, gather at the carefully staged protests. But Francis' film is more than just one angry protest after another, though, and there's a lot more here than just a dry history lesson. The story of what the group accomplished is beautifully inspiring, and further, How to Survive a Plague offers a convincing argument that ACT UP spearheaded a major shift in America's perception and treatment of its gay population, something equivalent to the civil rights movement. Once the protease inhibitors were introduced in the mid-90s, turning the virus into something resembling a manageable, though chronic, medical condition, the activists found their influence quickly fading. But what ACT UP accomplished and the power of the signature chant of the group has never waned and instantly brings back the plague years. ACT UP, fight back, fight AIDS. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Mega Minute.
This is Josh Kilmer Purcell, author of Candy Everybody Wants, and this is the Windy City Queer Cast.
Culture Club, Culture Club, Culture Club. Theater, music, dance, art, performance, provocative, hilarious, exciting, queer, innovative, campy, edgy, original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of September 24th, 2012, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Xanadu, which the New York Times called Heaven on Wheels, is now playing at the Drury Lane Theater. The New Yorker raved that the production is ridiculously brilliant, lavish, and sublime. Broadway's Gina Milo stars, and dinner show packages are available. Parking's for free. For tickets to Xanadu, visit DruryLaneOakbrook.com.
Emmy-winning James Still's premiere of Illegal Use of Hands has a sterling cast and terrific performances. See the play about revenge, glory, and being a man through September 30th at the Victory Gardens Biograph Theater. For tickets, go to victorygardens.org. Use code word SCORE to get $10 tickets.
Lifeline Theater opens its 30th anniversary season of Big Stories Up Close with a world premiere adaptation of Wilkie Collins' classic mystery, The Woman in White. Runs Thursday through Sunday through October 28th. For tickets for The Woman in White, visit lifelinetheater.com.
The Auditorium Theater presents Michael Feinstein and Jeff Lindberg's Chicago Jazz Orchestra, performing classics from the Great American Songbook on September 29th at 7:30 p.m. For tickets to Michael Feinstein, call 1-800-982-ARTS or visit Ticketmaster.com.
Chicago Shakespeare, the award-winning theater that brought you last season's Follies, the number one show of 2011 by the Chicago Tribune, presents Stephen Sondheim's Sunday in the Park with George, a soaring musical about a painter's struggle between creating art and living life. For tickets to this limited engagement, visit chicagoshakes.com/Sunday, playing now through November 4th.
This fall, go inside the mind of a lover, a madman, a poet, a genius, a killer, and a king. Don't miss Hamlet, now playing at Writers Theater in Glencoe, just minutes from downtown Chicago on the Edens or the Metra. For tickets, visit writerstheater.org. Shakespeare's most famous play combined with an all-star Chicago cast makes this Hamlet the must-see play of the fall. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you. So go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
Squint your eyes and look closer. I'm not between you and your ambition. I am a poster girl with no poster. I am 32 flavors and then some. And I'm beyond your peripheral vision. So you might want to turn your head. Cause someday you are gonna get hungry and eat most of the words you just told me about goodwill, and I have done well by their names. Just the kindness I lavished on strangers is more than I can explain. Still there's many who turned out their porch lights just so I would think they were not home, and hid in the dark of their windows till I passed and left them alone.
She capped indie rock alive. She is a rare musician who has really done it her way. And she's a part of the LGBT community, an early bisexual champion in our community. She has released over 20 albums, mostly on her own label, and has helped foster many, many, many other musicians and artists on that label. She's political. She's indie. She's bisexual. She's just a cool, righteous babe. And Jerry Nunn sat down with her to talk a little bit about her life, as now she has kind of settled down, the husband and a child. But she is heading to our town this Tuesday. So hopefully you're listening to this podcast early. Tuesday, September 25th, to the Vic. Great venue to hear a great indie artist. Vic is at 3145 North Sheffield. She's on tour, though, folks. You can purchase tickets in Chicago at jamusa.com. Or if you want to check out where else you might catch Ani DeFranco, visit righteousbabe.com. Jerry Nunn sits down with Ani right now.
This is Jerry. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Great. You're up early.
Oh, yeah. Fucking mommy world.
That's going to be tough. You have a daughter, right?
I do.
And is she in school yet?
Yep. Kindergarten.
Oh, my gosh. This is a big year, huh?
It is. Oh. It's brutal.
Oh, no.
Fucking miserable. In a word, misery.
And then how do you go on tour? Like, is that going to be tough?
Well, it is a radical gear shift these days.
Right.
Just, you know, from the time of day to the, yeah, just the mind, you know, set. But, yeah, hopefully I can still remember how to play music. I've been deep in mommy world for months now, so.
Oh, I bet. Now, where is Chicago on your tour? Is it the beginning, or?
I think close to the beginning.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Uh-huh. Okay. So I'm so glad you survived the hurricane and everything. I heard.
Yeah.
It was rough.
Yeah, you may hear some saw, circular saws in the background. Very unpleasant sounds. That's my house being fixed.
Oh.
Post hurricane.
Oh my gosh.
We're a little worse for wear here.
Yeah. I mean, was it major damage or just
I guess not major, considering, you know, I mean, I've gone past houses with trees on them, you know, and, you know, fucking sorry.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, we just took in a lot of water,
uh-huh.
Got some mold going on, got some shit to fix, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was reading up about, you know, your career and everything, and almost, you know, more than 20 albums, like, you put out so much music.
And,
I was just kind of wondering from the beginning, you know, running your own company and all that. I mean, do you ever think, like, what if I'd stayed with a major label, or if I had done my own thing? You know, I just wondered how you feel about that.
Well, you know, I haven't really thought about that kind of what if in a long time, you know. I've been on my own horse riding into my own sunset for so long that I just, you know, I can't fathom the other path, you know. Mm-hmm. I just made a choice when I was pretty young that, which I think was a very smart one for me, you know, that, you know, to go down this path means my life becomes this and is populated with these people.
Uh-huh.
And to go down this path means my life takes on a whole different flavor and is populated by all these crazy people. And that's, you know, what drew me. And so, you know, my life as Indie Girl USA has brought me to some very cool places and in contact with some really awesome people that I wouldn't have met, you know, in the major label world. So
yeah, true. I haven't been to one of your shows yet, so I'm looking forward to this one.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and I was really excited to talk to you, you know, and get this whole done. So, and then you have, I mean, what's a concert? What's your typical concert like? Can you kind of go over it for people that haven't been there, or, you know?
Well, geez, I'd like to think they're all different, you know, depending on whatever, all the factors.
Mm-hmm.
This run, I'm going to be working with a little band, a little power trio. My friend Todd Sikapoos on bass, who I've been playing with for a bunch of years. He's really just one of my favorite people in the world to play music with. And a new drummer, Terrence Higgins, who's from New Orleans, where I live, for a bunch of years now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just hooked up with Terrence. We're going to have our, you know, we're going to rehearse our asses this week and just hit it, this tour, so it'll be pretty exciting for me to be working with him and have a whole new game going on.
Nice. Okay. Great. So, and then I listened to, a lot of this album, the last album.
Oh, that came out cool. January.
And then, so favorite track, Mariachi, that's my fave.
Oh, sweet.
So I hope you'll be doing that one.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I'll try to throw it on the set list for you. You know the long instrumental in the middle where Todd is doing the kind of boom, 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 boom bass line?
Uh-huh.
That was supposed to be Willie Nelson was supposed to play guitar on that track.
How cool.
I contacted him and said, hey, I got this song, would you play on it? And he said, sure. And I was like, sure. Oh, wow. And I was all excited.
Yeah.
And he was coming to New Orleans and playing a show, and I spent all day making him red beans and rice and cornbread, and I was going to show up and hug him, and it was going to be awesome. And I showed up to his show, and I watched him play, and it was fucking great, because he's fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, go out to his bus after the show to give him his all this food that I had made.
Yeah.
And I step outside the venue and the bus starts pulling away. I'm like, ah! So not only did I never make his acquaintance, he never ended up playing on the track. I don't know what the hell happened.
Oh, no.
But eventually I was just like, all right, damn it. I'm just leaving this big empty section where the ghost of Willie is flying through.
Oh my gosh.
So next time you listen to that tune, just imagine Willie Nelson playing a cool guitar riff.
I will. Oh my gosh. He's coming here. He's coming to Chicago, I think.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah. I just read.
Oh, man.
Gosh. Willie.
Well, send him my regards.
So, and another person you worked with, Prince, is going to be here.
So, oh, cool. Yeah, I heard he's back out and about.
Yeah, he came out of his...
Oh, he puts on an awesome show. Always. Never a dull moment.
Yeah, it's been so long. I think last time he had, pillows and curtains and all this, a big set, where it was relaxing, kind of,
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but it's been so long since he's been here.
Right.
How did you wind up working with him?
A bunch of years ago, he was, in the era of Slave, when he was writing Slave on his cheek and stopped using the name Prince, and he was trying to get out of his Warner Brothers record deal, but he was tied in, and he was feeling very much like another victim of the major label industry. And so he started talking about me in the media and saying, I want to be on Righteous Babe. And I was like, whoa, cool. So I think I got in contact with him back, and then I was coming through Minneapolis playing a show, and he came to the show, and we met, and he invited me back to Paisley Park, and I think it was that night I actually recorded a little bit on the record that he was working on at the time, and then, in a little artistic exchange, I asked him if he would sing on whatever record I was working on at the time, so we did a little tit for tat, and since then I've just, seen him a few times casually, and he's really an amazing artist. The time that I spent at Paisley Park, after we did our little recording session, we just hung out and jammed. He called up his band members. This was, I think, before the Musicology tour.
Okay.
And he was just kind of jamming and rehearsing and coming up with stuff for it. So, his dudes came in and we were jamming, me on my little fucking tenor guitar, and just watching him bounce from instrument to instrument, from drums to guitar to piano, and just just slay every one of them. You know, he's just such a musical person. It was really fun.
Wow, that's so cool. Huh. This latest album really sounds very kind of blues-influenced and things, or maybe like New Orleans has influenced your music. Do you feel like it has? Do you feel like it has?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I've been living here for, I don't know, pushing 10 years. Mm-hmm. And, I made that record here with my husband, who's a New Orleanian, born and bred, and there's all kinds of local artists, and by local, I mean New Orleans bred international artists, you know, like Cyril Neville and Ivan Neville and all kinds of the Rebirth Brass Band, drummer Derek and this and that, you know, all kinds of people. So yes, I guess my recordings are very much taking on the flavor of where I live and work.
What else? Oh, and Lifeboat, of course, is a good, great
song. Oh, cool.
Do you do 32 flavors in concert usually? Is that something else?
Oh, yeah, it kind of comes out as an encore a lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Cool. That's what I'm hoping for. Okay.
Okay, cool. I'm trying to remember these things. Chicago.
I know.
Miachi, 32 flavors. As though I have that kind of mind.
So does your set list kind of evolve? I mean, is it, it's not,
yeah.
You know how some people are, you know, they have the same set list every show.
That's not me. That's not me. I'm a performer first, you know, in the folk singer model of, you know, every night is like a different adventure. And, you know, it's not about releasing a record and then promoting the record or, you know, the sort of commercial model. I'm somebody who's always touring and performing, and the show is an end in itself, you know, and may or may not have to do with whatever record is new, you know. It's just more has to do with what I'm thinking about, what I'm feeling, and what I want to play. So yeah, I try to change it up as much as I can. You know, I got a lot of listeners who come show to show, you know, they'll come to every show on a tour. And
wow, that's a following.
It's a high pressure situation, you know. I'm sitting there looking at the same faces in the front row. It's like, well, you know, can't do what I did last night. So
yeah. I imagine you have a big, you know, LGBT following. I'm sure that's a big part of.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, I guess. I don't know. I don't know who all those people are anymore.
do people hound you after the shows and run after you?
A little bit, you know. I mean, not like the bad old days, you know, when I was kind of at the peak of my notoriety. Things have mellowed out, which is nice.
Yeah. And so you've been very political, you know, in the past, and there's, you know, some politics throughout, you know, your writing and stuff. What have you been thinking of all the elections and, you know, election kind of events and all that? Have you been involved in it, or are you, is things important to you now that you, you know, have a family, and are things different for you now?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm as political as I ever was. I mean, I gotta say this, I don't know, I mean, the news being reduced to this sort of contest of personality, you know, this sort of survivor of the presidential election is, you know, it's so, you know, it's, you know, meanwhile, there's a world full of things happening, you know, anyway, in terms of the presidential election, of course, I'm just, you know, praying and, in, you know, a loose sense of that word, for, you know, a second term for Obama. I'm, of course, going to get out there and vote, and I really hope that, you know, that the progressive people of America are going to get off their asses and vote once again. I know it's complicated. I know it's frustrating. I know a lot of us expected, you know, fireworks when Obama got into office. And, of course, you know, we see instead a man just struggling against a brick wall of ignorance and hatred. So, you know, it hasn't been as thrilling and all out satisfying as we dreamed, but still, it's of course our duty to get out there and vote. And you know, I just I feel very strongly about that, and I think at all of these shows on this upcoming tour, we're going to have Head Count, which is a voter registration organization, and people can register to vote right at the shows, and then, you know, exercise that right in November and beyond.
Yeah, I went to a Rock the Vote, you know, parties and stuff, you know, around Lollapalooza, and they even have an app and everything that, you know, people can register on their phones now, so it's pretty...
Yeah, I mean, if just young people, just that population alone were voting en masse, we would have a different government, we would have a different country, you know? If we exercise this right that people fought so hard for, you know?
Yeah.
I think it was the 2004 elections, God forbid, the second of the stolen election by George W. and crew.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing a swing state tour, and we had like a slideshow in the intermission of the show about the history of voting rights. And when you watch this slideshow, it was put together by my road manager and friend, and it was really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And so inspiring. Like, you see how hard people fought for your right to choose your government, you know, and how rare it is around the world. And then to not do the simplest thing, like get registered and take 10 minutes out of one day every 4 years and go exercise that right, just seems, you know, like the insanity it is. So, you know, anyway, I just really want people to, you know, stay involved, keep voting.
I wanted to ask too, are you doing any, do you have to do benefits and stuff for whatever the damage was down in New Orleans now, or is it manageable? How is it down there?
Yeah, I mean, it's not really that kind of scene. We didn't have the sort of massive flooding in the city that we did after Katrina. It was a bad storm, but it's sort of everybody is just picking up their own yards and fixing their own windows and roofs. And there was some pretty bad flooding, but it was in the surrounding areas. I don't even know where those folks are at, you know, but there hasn't been that sort of talk of, you know, massive benefits and stuff. It's certainly not on the scale of the Katrina disaster.
Yeah, gosh. I wrote a travel story in Shreveport, and so I need to check in with my friends down there.
Yeah.
Well, we are looking so forward to seeing you in Chicago.
Cool.
And good luck with everything and with your daughter in school and
your
house together.
Only we lived in Chicago.
I know.
Nobody'd have to go to school.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Oh,
ay,
gosh.
Ay, ay.
I know. That's going to be, we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, I will see you at the show. And,
okay, cool.
And, and say hi afterwards. So.
Okay. All right.
Thanks so much. Thanks. Okay.
Bye.
And don't miss Ani DeFranco at the Vic this Tuesday, September 25th. For tickets in Chicago, go to jamusa.com. Or if you want to catch her on tour, go to righteousbabe.com. Hope you all have a great week. It's been a big show of music. I thank Jerry Nunn for sitting down and having some great conversations this week. I will talk to you all when we're in October, and that's just days away. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.